So, you saw in that video, obviously that you might be thinking, what the heck is that all about? Well, we've been talking about, we've been talking about, I'll give you one guess what we've been talking about.
War on culture.
War on culture. You guys are sharp. Will you turn me down? Yeah, just a little. So, tonight we're going to look at this issue of authority. And so, right off the bat, I want you to do what we do every week, and some of you just go brain dead at this point, and you forget to do what I'm telling you, but do this. What would this be called? Cell phone. Yes, you're with me. All right, everybody's tracking. There's a little button on here. It should say power end. It might have a different color than all the other buttons on your phone. I want you to push it and hold it down until your phone looks just like this, okay? In a minute, there'll be no color, no picture. It will be off.
There.
Yes. Now, just like this. This is what your phone should look like for the next 40 minutes, okay? That's fine. If you want to throw it in the back of the room, that's fine. But make sure it's off. Don't be texting nobody, because you don't need to be talking to anybody but me and God right now, okay? And for that matter, you don't need to be talking to me. You just need to be listening to me. So, that would be an authority issue, obviously. So, this video, I thought it was kind of funny that you saw these different views. And these people were asked the question, what were they asked? Anybody have any idea?
Why do you obey
authority? Yes, and the price of food. We're going to just leave that price of food thing behind for right now, and we're going to focus on why do you obey authority? And I think it's a good question. You saw in this, and you see in Scripture, this idea of this just innate sense of right and wrong in our lives. All of you, there is, to some level, authority that you obey. There is something within you that says this is right or this is wrong. Okay, would you agree to some extent? Now, maybe we're not all on the same page on that, but to some extent there is something within us that says this is right. I mean, to come up or wrong. If I'm going to come up to Mackenzie and shoot her in the face with a gun, most of us would say that's wrong. Okay, whether you like Mackenzie or not, you're going to think that's probably not a good thing to do. That would probably fall into the wrong category. And so we've got this innate sense of right and wrong, and yet, a bunch of y'all cheered for the guy at the end who said what? I'm a rebel. Because there's also something within us, and it's called our sin nature, and I don't want you to check out on me right here. I want you to try to zone in. There's this thing inside of us called our sin nature. And guys over here, if y'all could hang out and pay attention. It is what says, hey, you know what? It's cool to be a rebel. It's cool to buck the system. It's cool to be my own authority. It's cool for me. There's something within us that says, you know what? I'm not a big fan of these rules. Now, we're all a big fan of nobody shooting me in the face, right? Okay. Nobody, you know, it's not cool if there was a new law that said people can run over your animals anytime they want. They can come steal them out of your house and just throw them out in the road and run over them. Okay? We're all big fans of rules to some point. But then there's that thing within us that says, I want to be a rebel. I want to push the limits. If the line is here, I just want to take at least one step across. We want the rush and the adrenaline of disobeying authority. Now, I'm not sure where that comes from other than our sin, but I do know this, that culture says, that's right. Culture says, and what you see on TV, what you watch, what you listen to, says, you know, that's cool. It's cool to be a rebel. I mean, it's cool to push the limits just a little bit. It's cool maybe even to push them somewhat farther than you think are acceptable, and they encourage you. They don't necessarily say you should, but they encourage you through subtleties. I mean, again, nobody thought 9/11 was cool. Okay? No, nobody thinks that the murders we see on the news every night are cool. But what you do see is that it's cool to push the limits and to be that rebel that just stands up against authority and stands up against any kind of establishment and stands up and speaks out and is a rebel against teachers or parents or any kind of just generic authority over us in our life. Okay? Y'all probably don't even remember this, but Burger King, their slogan a while ago, I don't think it's their slogan anymore, have it your way. Y'all remember that? Burger King, have it your way. Okay? That's what we think. We think we should have it our way. And as long as your rules fit into my life, that's cool. But if you want my life to fit into your rules, then we got some issues. PlayStation. You remember what theirs was?
Live in your world, play in arms.
What it used to be? Challenge everything. EA, sorry. I play the games on PlayStation. Everybody with me? Let's start over. Hey, what's EA Sports' little slogan? You guys are good. Challenge everything. Challenge everything. Now, again, the point is for us is, should we really challenge everything? Or there's some things in our life, or there's some people in our life that God has placed there that we're just supposed to say, okay, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. When you want that done, I'll do a great job. I don't want to do it, but I'll do it. Here's what one of the things about authority is this, that we think authority just means power. This is part of the reason that we rebel against it, because we want to have the power to do what we want. I mean, right? You're a grown man, grown woman. You can do what you want. But here's the deal with authority. Authority isn't just talking about power. It's the idea of legitimacy. And here's what this word means. I want your ears and eyes up here, please. It's this idea of this, that they are right and they are just. People with authority have the right to tell you what to do. That's the idea of authority. And so there is all kinds of authority that we're going to get to in a minute. But here's what I want you to see. Is that the lie, the flaming arrow from 5 weeks ago when we talked about spiritual warfare, the flaming arrow that Satan is throwing at you, the lie he wants you to believe is this, that you should feel that way about authority. And ultimately that you are your own authority. You do what you want to do. You do what makes sense, what feels right. Regardless of what the laws and the rules say, you be your own person. You do what you want to do. And here's the deal. Here's the problem with that. It stands in direct contradiction to what this book says. And for those of you in here that say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I want to follow Christ, you need to listen. Because most of us are guilty of standing up to authority and saying, I don't want to do it that way. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to push the limits. I'm going to rebel if I have to, but I'm going to do life the way I want to do it. And in essence, this I'm not using this as a cuss word, to hell with authority. That's what you say with your life. Most of us in here in different occasions. Now, here's what we're going to look at tonight. What Scripture has to say about authority. Why is authority there? Well, the first thing I want you to get, and I pray that God impresses this on your heart, is that it is not there to be a burden to your life. It is not there to oppress you and to confine you. And so you'll be the boring guy that dresses nerdy and that follows all the rules. And, you know, that's the picture of people that submit to authority that some of y'all have. Here's what I want you to see that authority does. It helps you and it protects you. How many of you guys have ever seen any kind of Discovery Channel or whatever show where they're swimming with great white sharks? It's the coolest thing ever. Like, and most times you've seen them in a cage. Now, every now and then you'll see some dude that smokes crack before he goes out there, and they don't tell you about that. But that's what you have to do to get in the ocean with a great white shark if you're not in a cage. So the guys that are in the cages, that are just normal people that don't smoke anything, these are the guys that they realize, hey, you know what? It's really cool to swim these great white sharks. But here's this cage that I'm very appreciative of, because it protects me from teeth that are about that long that want to sink into my flesh because he thinks I'm a seal or some other small object that is a food source for him. Okay? Not a big fan of being eaten by a great white shark. But do you think the guy gets in there and when those great whites slam into that cage and they bite into it that they're like, man, I hate this cage. It's no fun. It restricts me from being with the sharks. Of course they don't say that. They're praising the Lord for titanium or steel or whatever these cages are made of that keep them from these sharks. That's the same thing with authority. That's the way God has set authority up, because it's a better way. Because without authority, even this old guy that I thought was hilarious, he said, you know, I'm old school. I was raised that way. And then he said, what if you weren't raised that way? Well, you still got to follow rules. Why? We'd have chaos. The rules are there to help you and protect you. And ultimately, as a follower of Christ, authority is in your life because it teaches you how to submit to the authority of God. And if you can't do that, then you can't follow God. And we're going to get to this at the end, but either God is in control of your life or you are. Period. God is the authority of your life or you are the authority of your life. That's the only choice you get. There's no middle ground. Now, there is growth in that process of learning how to submit to God, but either God is in control or you are in control. And so let's look real quick. Oh, well, I got another reason why God gives us authority. And here's a big one, because it teaches you humility. One of the reasons that we don't like people telling us what to do is because we got pride. I can do what I want to do. Don't be telling me what to do. I mean, if you've ever been called out by somebody, especially by a teacher or a coach or something, it's embarrassing. And you've got a response. I mean, when somebody attacks your pride, especially in authority, you can react and you can talk about them after they're gone, which most of us do. You can whine like a little baby and act like you're still in second grade and hang your head and mope and walk slow and kick stuff while you're doing it, which a lot of us do. Or you can do the godly thing and just submit to that authority. And here's what that means you have to do. Swallow your pride. Say, you know what? You're right. Yes, I'll do that. You know what God says about pride? Anybody know? He hates it. He hates. Hates. And that's a very strong word. Your mama tells you, never say that. We don't hate people. We just dislike them or whatever she said. God hates pride. Can I get y'all's eyes up here? You know why God hates your pride? Because it means that you're in control and you won't submit to His authority. Because if you're prideful, that means that you know best and you're the ruler. You know what pride is? It is the root of every sin that you do, because you think your way is better than God's way. And so God puts authority in our life to teach us how to swallow our pride and submit to what He wants for our life. Now, let's look real quick at what Scripture has to say about authority and specifically, I guess, how we need to apply this into our life. Romans 13 is where we're headed. We're going to read 13, 1 through 5. It says this, everyone, who's everyone? Everyone, right. Okay, y'all are with me. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Okay, the authorities that exist have been established by God. So we all with this fact that God establishes authority. Yes, sure we are. Who's supposed to submit to them again? Everyone. Right, all right. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. So here's what I want to do. We're going to break this down real quick. And we're going to talk about authority. And so this first verse, 13:1, if you got your Bibles, get them open. Give that to Jay. Thanks, good catch. Romans 13. And if you don't have your Bible, bring them. If you don't have a Bible, talk to me and I'll get you one tonight. But again, you need to have your Bible open in your lap, because some of y'all don't even know where the book of Romans is. You don't even know that's in the Bible. You don't even know this is the Bible. I'm going to start preaching out of like the dictionary and the phone book and stuff. Because y'all don't, if you don't open this with me, this is my pet peeve, one of them, so I'm sorry real quick. But you have no idea what I'm talking about. So I want you to get in there so you can eat this with me and digest it and we'll be all good. All right, praise the Lord. Romans 13, verse 1. Everyone. Who? Does that mean each of y'all? What about me? Yeah, okay, praise the Lord. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities,
Why? For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God.
That means this. Every authority in your life, you have to submit to them, period, because God put them there. Pretty simple. Now, here's the question for us, though. Who is in authority over me? President. We know that. Not President Palmer. President Bush right now. Okay? If you're into 24, that's a joke you would have got. Government officials. We'll work our way down. Police officers. Teachers. Any of y'all have a teacher? Okay? Anybody have a teacher? Anybody alive out there? All right. You've all got teachers. Captain of a team, if you're on a team. Boss, if you have a job. Parents, if you have them. Anybody got parents in the room? Anybody? Bueller. All right. Most of y'all's arms don't work. You are so lame. Pastor, grandparents, principal of your school, the lunch lady, whatever the case, if they are in a position of authority over you, you are supposed to submit to them. Why? Because, no, not because God said so necessarily, but because God put them there. Okay, that's pretty big. Because here's what that means. That means in the hallway, when the janitor that you make fun of tells you not to run or not to throw your trash on the floor or do whatever, he's an authority over you in that hall. And you're to submit to him. You know why? Because God let him have that authority. Now here's the part that stinks. There's people in authority that don't deserve authority. They don't deserve your respect. You don't like them. They abuse their authority. But here's the thing. God gave it to them anyways. And for whatever reason, he allowed them to be in the position they're in. And if they're in that position, they're in authority over you, period. Period. You get one out on this. Because we always want the loophole. Here's the out you get. If an authority tells you to do something that directly violates the word of God, you get out of it. Okay, well, that's pretty cool. So there's an out. But that's it. Not like, well, I don't really feel like taking out the trash. I don't really feel like stop talking in class. I'm going to chew, you know, how many of y'all had teachers that you couldn't chew gum in class? But all of y'all found that place in your mouth where you could hide gum. And here's the thing. You would never even chew it. It'd just be in your mouth for that whole class so you could be the cool guy. That you're like, yeah, I had gum in there. I ain't scared. And you never chewed gum. You were scared. That's why you found that hole in your mouth where your molar used to be that you would stuff the gum in so the teacher wouldn't find out. Okay? But we all of us, every one of us have to submit to whatever authority God has placed in our life. Now let's go on. Verse 2. Says this, consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. So here's what that says. Y'all with me on this? I need you to hear this. Any authority, Nathan, that you rebel against God. Now, none of us are like, God, I hate you. God, I'm not going to do what you say. Now, some of you may. I don't know all your hearts, but I would think for the most part you don't. Most of us would say, I want to submit to God's authority. I don't want God mad at me. I don't want the creator of the earth wanting to shoot lightning bolts at me. And yet, the Bible's very clear that it says this. If you rebel against any authority on this earth, you are rebelling against God. Because God established that authority. And he tells you and I to submit to them. Now that stinks. Because there are people that I don't want to submit to. And here's the thing. You don't have to respect somebody to submit to them. It's easier, but you don't have to. You don't have to like them. You don't have to know them. None of that matters. If somebody in authority over you says, do this, then you do it. Unless... what? It directly violates something that Scripture says. Now, that's hard for us to swallow. I've got a friend who really struggled with this.
And his boss, in his words, was, well, different words I can't use. But he didn't like the guy, okay? And he probably wasn't worthy of the job that he had and the position. But God had established him there for whatever reason. He was really struggling with submitting to his authority and doing what he said. And he talked to a pastor, and the pastor said, you know what? You need to do this anyways. You need to have a godly response and submit to this. Don't rebel against it, because God's not going to bless you if you do. So he said, all right, I'll try this. And he started to. And here's what happened in that relationship. It ended up that the guy was kind of intimidated by him, because he thought he was smarter and he knew a little more. And what happened is there started to become trust in that relationship. And the boss started to back off of him a little. And this guy, over the past 3 or 4 years, has gotten about 6 promotions. And in the next couple years, will be the president of a $500 to $600 million company. Okay? Now, am I saying you should submit so you can be the president of a company? No. What I'm saying is the way that God tells you to do things is the best way that it's supposed to be. And even though this guy was a jerk, even though he didn't deserve for my friend to submit to him, he did it anyways because he realized that God had established that authority. And God told him to. So he did it. Okay, verse 3. So we know we're supposed to submit, because if we don't, we're rebelling against God. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what's right. Makes sense, huh? You know why you do... Hey, guys, let me tell you something. You know why you do things in secret that you're not supposed to do? Because you're not supposed to do them. You know what sin says? I mean, sin. This is not sin. You know what the Bible says about sin? That it likes darkness. Sin likes to hide. But light exposes our dark deeds. You want to know why that you're afraid of authority? Because you're doing something wrong. Those of you that drive, how many people drive in the room? Okay, if you don't know it already, at one point in your life, you will have the sinking feeling of the police lights in your rearview mirror. Okay? And listen, it's uncanny. You can be going 10 miles an hour under the speed limit, and the minute you hear a siren or see lights, you will slam on your brakes, and you will be afraid that you're going to jail for the rest of your life. Why is that? Because everyone that's driven a car has sped. Everyone that's driven a car has broken the law, and most of us have been pulled over by that cop at one point and said, sir, did you know how fast you were going? No, I didn't even know the car would go that fast. And that's why we're afraid of the authorities. Why? Because we're doing wrong. You see here why the authorities, hey, pay attention. You see how why the authorities are there, part of it? It's for us to do right. Listen to what it says. Rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. You don't want to be afraid of authority? Then do what's right. You don't want authority to come down on you? Then do what's right. You don't want to fear the repercussions of authority? Then do what's right. Let's go on to verse 4. For he, the authority, is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Now here's the deal. Some of y'all don't think it's fair the way authority treats you. But here's what you need to know about authority. They have the right to do what they want to you when you break the rules. You say, man, I was only going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. It's not fair. Well, so you were cheating. You broke the law. How many of y'all, now just be honest, the game's over. We already. How many of y'all cheated in red light, green light? Come on. How many of y'all cheated? We're confessing as a group, so our sins will be healed. All right, most of y'all, okay? Half of y'all at least. Now, I'm not endorsing cheating, but here's the deal. When you think, well, I just took one little step, or I just did, it's not fair. Don't make me go back to the end. I just felt, and that's just a dumb game. But the point is the same. It's not fair. They were talking.
Why do I get a detention? I was only 5 minutes late to class. Can you believe that jerk that she would keep me after school or make me do more homework? I need extra credit to pass. It's not fair. Well, if you had done your work all year, you wouldn't need the extra credit. If you had studied instead of being on MySpace all night, you wouldn't need the extra credit. Here's the point. The authorities in your life are just. Not always, but they are just in their punishment of you if you break the law. If you break the rules, they get to set the punishment. Period. That's what he says right here in verse 4. That's why they carry a sword. So when you do wrong, they cut your head off. And you know what? They get to, because you broke the rules. Verse 5. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. So we see here that he says, all right, you need to obey the authorities. Why? Because you don't want to get in trouble. Okay, that's a good reason. One of his daughters, he's got three daughters and a son. I think it was Jane, his middlest, well, there's three daughters, four kids, middle daughter. Jane got in trouble. I think it was Jane, got in trouble one time, spanked. Pastor said, or she said, Dad, why did you spank me? She said, because you disobeyed me. She said, I'll never disobey you again. She was like 6 years old. She never got another spanking. Not one time. Now, you think that's like an urban legend? It's not. You can go ask Pastor right now. Now, it may be Jennifer, but I think it's Jane. She got it. You don't want to get spanked? Don't disobey. So, if I disobey, I get a spanking. Oh, that makes sense. Then don't disobey. For some reason, though, we have fallen under the belief that it's cool to disobey. And it's cool to rebel. And even if we get in trouble, it's pretty cool. Here's where we're going to boil this down for us, and then we'll be done. You submit to the authority of God, or you submit to the authority of fill in your name. Either Josh Rodriguez is in control of his life, or God is. Either Jared West is in control of his life, or God is. Brian Smith is in control of his life, or God is. Nathan Knight is in control of his life, or God is. Devin Pope is in control of her life, or God is. Period. And here's the kicker. If you say, yes, God, I want to submit to you, then that means you submit to the authorities on this earth. Last 2 weeks ago, we went off on parents. Don't tell me how much you love God if you don't submit to your parents' authority. Don't tell me how much you love God if you're the worst kid in your class when it comes to obeying your teacher. Don't tell me how much you love God when you're always cheating and lying and stealing and doing everything you can to press the limits of authority all around you. Don't tell me that you love God if that's the case. Here's the thing, and we'll end with this. God is in control of everything, whether you like it or not. But this is the choice He gives us. And I need y'all to listen right here, okay? I need every one of y'all to listen. You can choose to submit to His authority now by your own choice. And even though it's hard, and even though it's not always fun, you can choose to submit to God's authority now and have the blessing of God on your life. Or you can choose to submit to God's authority in judgment. And if you do it then, you're not going to be a big fan of the results. You're not going to be a big fan if you wait till judgment day and you say, okay, I get it now. Too late. They pull the hell door on you. Period. Now, that's kind of a joke. I guess I probably shouldn't make a joke about hell because it's really not funny. It's a very real place. Romans says it this way. Romans 14 says, it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Hey, every one of us, you and I, every one of us will bow our knee and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Every one of us. Some of y'all have done that. already. You say, God, you can have control of my life. I don't want to be in control. Some of y'all haven't. And if you wait, you're going to stand before God and you're still going to do the exact same thing that I've done. But it's going to be too late for you. Guys, you can be in control of your life. God lets us do that on this earth. You can do what you want, make your own rules, and it's all good. And in the end, you will stand before God and He will say, I never knew you. You know what the first step in coming to a personal relationship with God the Father is? Submitting to the authority of Jesus Christ. Submitting to His control in your life. And trusting that what He did on the cross saves us from our sin. And confessing that we will live an obedient life submitted to His authority. Now, if you're not a big fan of authority, that might be a hard step for you. But guys, I'm just telling you, you're going to submit to it one day. Why not do it now? Why not submit to God now? What are you waiting on? You want to sow your wild oats? You want to have real fun? You want to get drunk all the time, have as much sex as you can, do drugs, whatever? Well, you can do that. God lets us choose. But He says, I've got a better life. I've got a better life, and I have to be in control if you want to live this life that I offer you, but it's better. I love you so much. And I've placed authority in your life, and I want to be the authority in your life because I care for you. And the life that I offer you is better. And when you make choices that show that you're in control, it leads to death and destruction. It leads to pain and hurt. And God wants something better for us. Let's pray. I would just ask you tonight this question. Are you in control of your life, or is God? Simple question. Are you in control of your life, or is God? And if you're in control, then that's a big issue. Because the reality, and we've seen tonight, is that God has set up authority. And we're supposed to submit to it. Some of y'all have never submitted your life to Christ. You don't know Him as your Lord and Savior. You've never bowed your knee to Him. And maybe you say, man, I want to do that. I need to do that. I need God to be in control because I don't want to wait till it's too late. If that's you, if you're not a Christian, if you've never given your life to Christ, do this. Just raise your hand. Say, that's something I want to do. If there's anybody in here that wants to, just throw your hand up. Say, that's something I want to do. I've never done it. I want to do it. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want Him to forgive me my sins. I want to submit my life to Him. Okay. For those of you in here, maybe you say, well, I don't really care about God's authority. God's patient. But man, would you submit to Him? He loves you so much and He wants a relationship with you. And if you don't know Him as Lord, we're going to be praying that you come to, that God convicts your heart and that you come to a place where you just serve Him and you're submissive to the call that He wants to place on your life. There's some of y'all in here, though, that are Christians, but you got some serious issues with the authorities in your life. Maybe you don't think they deserve your respect. I understand that. Scripture says that we've got to serve Him anyways. That we've got to be submissive anyways. And if you want to honor God with your life, you've got to submit to your authority. So would you just take a couple minutes and just be really honest with God and talk to Him about the authorities in your life. And if you're struggling with some of them, just ask that God would give you strength to submit to them, strength and courage to just do what they say, knowing that God is going to bless you. Thank you.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And open the eyes of my heart, 'cause I want to see you. 'Cause I want to see you. And open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And open the eyes of my heart, 'cause I want to see you. And I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. And pour out your power and love, as we sing holy, holy, holy. And open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And open the eyes of my heart, 'cause I want to see you. And I want to see you. And open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And open the eyes of my heart, 'cause I want to see you. And I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Oh, stand and sing with us. And high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. And pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Y'all sing holy. And holy, holy, holy. And holy, holy, holy. And holy, holy, holy. And I want to see. And holy, holy, holy. And holy, holy, holy. And holy, 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 I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. And pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. One more time. And high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Oh, pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. And holy, holy, holy. And holy, holy, holy. And holy, holy, holy. Lord, I want to see you. And holy, holy, holy. And holy, holy, holy. And holy, holy, holy. And I want to see you. Your love, it is extravagant. Your friendship, it is intimate. And I feel like moving to the rhythms of your grace. Your fragrance is intoxicating in our secret place. And your love, it is extravagant. And spread wide in the arms of Christ. It is a love that covers sin. And no greater love than have I ever known. And you can set me free and capture my heart again. Your love is extravagant. Your friendship, it is intimate. And I feel like moving to the rhythms of your grace. Your fragrance is intoxicating in our secret place. Your love, it is extravagant. Spread wide in the arms of Christ. It is a love that covers sin. But no greater love than have I ever known. You can set me free. Spread wide and in the arms of Christ. It is a love that covers sin. It's no greater love than have I ever known. You consider me a friend to capture my heart again. Oh, capture my heart again. My Savior, Lord, there is none like you in all of my days, and I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of a refuge and serene, and let every breath, all that I am, and never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord and all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. The mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. And I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. And nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you in all of my days, and I want to praise the wonders of your mind. a shelter, tower of a refuge, a serene. And let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord and all the earth, let us sing. The power and the majesty, praise to the King. The mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. And I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. And nothing compares to the promise I have. Oh, nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Father, we thank you that that nothing compares to what we have in you. And God, I pray that you would convict each of our hearts. That we are to submit to the authorities that you've placed. And in doing so, we are submitting to you as our God and our Savior. So God, we love you. We thank you just for how good you are to us. And God, I pray for these students. I pray for each one of them. God, I don't know most of what's going on in their lives, but I know some of them have it hard. God, I just pray just a special blessing over their life. For students that are in homes that are very tough, they're dealing with very serious issues about really who they are, about right and wrong, about the decisions that are making that are going to affect and shape the course of the rest of their life. God, I just pray that you would be very near to them. I pray that you would be very evident in their life and they would see that you are a good God who wants to love them, who does love them, but you want a relationship with us. You want them and us to be able to experience you and to know this great love that you have for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sit down real quick. I want to say a couple things. You got an announcement? No, we can't. It's 7:30. Two things. There's a couple sign-ups in the back for the middle school lockout and for the high school trip to Cedar Point. If y'all want to go, sign up. There's sheets back there. You can bring people to both of them. But for the Cedar Point trip, there's 40 people going. So the first 40 that pay me are in. That's it, period. There you go. I love you guys. Have a great week.